tonight, eh? Old Bill, and you.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Bobby.
A prisoner at the Michigan Department of Corrections, Parnell facility. If you feel you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact GTL Customer Service. To accept this call, press 0. Hang up. Your current balance is $14.13. This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording. Thank you for using GTL.
Hey! What's up, Doug? Cannot hear anything if you are talking.
Oh, hello?
Oh, got you now.
All right, we're just setting up a microphone for Michael Bean.
Michael Bean. Oh, I had huge echo. You guys hearing that too?
That might be because of the...
Hang on, let me... Yeah, we got a speaker set up. We might have to ditch that.
Yeah.
It's coming out of your 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, this hearing my own voice back at me takes any confidence I want to have directly and immediately away.
Yeah, I'm not. I think only Chad Shank is a fan of his own voice.
Yeah, you should be in prison for life if you appreciate the sound of your own voice.
Unless you're Chad Shank.
Unless you're Chad Charismatic Shank.
Yes. Bobby.
Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Yo.
Hey, Bobby. It's Michael Bean.
On the mic.
How are you?
Oh, hey. Hi.
Hey.
Oh, there. Now it's nice and clear.
Good.
Senor Bean.
Listen, I want to put everything in context here because I met this one over here. What's your name?
Stanhope.
Doug Stanhope. I got a little problem with my... Yeah, I had a stroke. anyway, but I... Doug was I got to be friends with him because I moved to Bisbee and I did his podcast because I did some movies 40 years ago and we had a lot of fun. And so I started listening to his podcast. And obviously, you were featured in the last couple of weeks. And so I saw Doug out. We were playing tennis. I won't get into who won that.
We're even.
Well, I won the last
rubber
one.
Match.
Well, okay. The one we had the money on, I won. But anyway, we have a little bit of time here. So anyway, I was, I heard you talking and I heard you were, in Michigan and prison and the whole thing. So I asked Doug, I said, what's the guy in for? Because, I don't know your history. I don't know anything about you. What's he in for? And he's like, God, he fucking killed his fucking wife. I was like, oh, my God. Shit. That's fucking. Oh, but and then he said, but you know what? It was manslaughter. I've checked this guy out. He's really good. He's cool. It's not what you think or whatever. I'm like, what happened or whatever. And he said, the guy was trying to commit suicide and thinking about committing suicide. Yeah. I guess he had a fucking gun or whatever. I don't really know anything about it. And he accidentally fucking shot his wife. And I went, oh, fuck, man, that's fucking horrible. And, My question to Doug at that time was, I didn't know you. I don't know.
No. Go ahead.
All right. So my question to Doug at the time when we were sitting there was, do me a favor and ask him that if he was that close to committing suicide, because I used to be an actor and I'm kind of interested in this kind of shit and how the brain works and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That close to fucking killing yourself and then you fucking accidentally fucking shoot your wife? Don't you then just go that's all the more fucking reason. And just boom, end it. And that's what I wanted him to ask you. And then he didn't ask you. And then...
You have 1 minute remaining.
You do have a very good voice there. So, and then when I got on the podcast on New Year's Eve, I called Doug for some other reason. Then he said, we're on the fucking air. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you use your own phone for the fucking podcast? He's like, yeah. So then I kind of had to go into Michael Bean mode and blah, blah, blah. I was doing my thing. But I was really kind of interested in So we only got 15 minutes, which is not enough time for me to even get to know you. But go ahead and just talk because this is your time. Go.
No, I mean, this time isn't that isn't that valuable. I've done it before and it's not, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But, I think what happened was, obviously that's just like really personal and it's really tough to think about. And, when people speak on it, I've had to like learn. I have a really thick skin with shit anyways. I grew up around just the most ruthless assholes. But with that, it's like kind of tough. And,
good looking kid, by the way.
Well, yeah, but nothing compared to Michael B. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen your movies. I've seen your fucking movies. There, you know what I mean? Even as a villain, you're still definitely fucking. Right. And that's like from me, not from. So here it is. Okay. I never took offense to anything that, because it was relayed back to me in a couple of my, you know, because I have my own show, I have my own podcast,
and
some people were like, I guess offended by something you said. I never heard it and was. Telling them, like, leave them alone. They couldn't find you on Twitter, so they wanted to, like, shit. I don't know. And, but I understand people asking, right? Like, I would have a bunch of questions, too. Obviously, the police did. I never got charged with anything but involuntary manslaughter. They had to do, like, an in-depth investigation. But, like, briefly, what happened was, there's a longer description on, it's called On the Fringes with Andrew Gold. He works for the BBC. I did his podcast a while back. But what happened was I was sitting on the stairs and I had been yanked off all my anti-depression medicine because I lost my insurance because I lost my job and whatever. I've had mental health issues for a long time. And I was sitting on the stairs and I had my feet on the stair right under my ass, which like props your knees up, you know? And I had my elbows on and I was drunk and I was crying. And I had, when I went and got a 1911, a 45, and when I went and got it, the magazine was gone because Monica, my wife, knew that I was thinking about, I'd tried to hurt myself before. So the magazine was gone, but I knew where the bullets were, right? Uh-huh. So I could stay in the room. I was sitting on the stairs and I went and grabbed a single round and I pulled the slide back and dropped it in there and chambered it. Now there was something wrong with this gun, but because I chambered it like that, the hammer's now back and I'm not even fucking thinking about the shit. I was drunk and whatever. So I'm sitting on the stairs and I'm crying. I'm trying to get the nerve up. And, the gun, my head's like between my knees and as I'm pulling the gun forward, like it's like the gun's almost on the back of my head, like pointing up the stairs. Now, the last I knew, she was in the room upstairs. And when I'm pulling moving the gun, it goes off while it's still like at an angle, like next to my head. And as soon as it goes off, I feel something hit my back. And I'm like instantly confused, like what the fuck is going on? It's her with my son. Ugh. So apparently she came out.
How old was he?
He was three.
Okay. All right.
So I guess I didn't know what happened though, because there was no blood or anything. I'm like, did she faint? Maybe she fainted. I thought the bullet like went into the wall, like a little bit above me, into the wall on the stairs. And, there was no blood or anything, and I'm like, what the fuck? So, instantly my thought process, besides trying to kill myself, shifts to what's happening? Is she okay? Like, what the fuck? My kid's crying, and I pull her down, and I call 911, and I'm fucking, like, what the fuck? I'm trying to talk to her, and I have to do CPR on her, because I get through to 911. And then when the cops show up, like, there was no blood. I couldn't find any blood on her. But when I did CPR, she had, like, a little blood on the side of her mouth. And I had the front door open. I was right by the front door. And then when the ambulance and the cops came, I seen that, okay, they're here. They can take care of her now. So I ran back to the kitchen where the bullets were. Because I was like, now they can take care of her. I did the same thing. But when I chambered it this time, it immediately went off. And it went through my hand, my left hand.
Oh. Were you gonna off yourself right
yeah,
then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. And but, then but so you I shot saw, your hand went, instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Went off. There's something wrong with the hammer, or the locking mechanism in the hammer. And
are you crying?
I saw that they. Who me? No.
Oh, you're sniffing. Okay, go ahead.
I've done that enough times. Telling the story and shit.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the two times I've told it to the one guy from the BBC and now to you, people I don't know,
uh-huh.
I get less emotional than I used to not even be able to talk about this shit.
Yeah.
And I saw that when the gun went off the second time and blew my fucking finger off, damn near, that they weren't coming in to help her because of me. Because they were worried because I had the fucking gun. So I threw the gun down and laid down and was screaming, like, help her, please fucking help her. And so, like, to answer your question, the reason I didn't just do it immediately right after that, because my whole priority shifted, what happened, what's going on with her. And what I learned later when they did the ballistics was that she must have walked out to check on me, saw me sitting there with the gun and turned around. And right when the gun went off, it went in her lower back at like just the right specific angle and traveled up through her back and stopped in her brain and killed her immediately. And
we should have saved this for the podcast? Yeah, I was just going to say this should have been the Christmas episode.
Yeah, this is fucking I think the people who know me and listen to my stuff have gotten to relate to me and close to me, and they know me on a more in-depth level, of which you're like pointing out that it would be hard to do in 15 minutes. And so they're like protective of the story and as I am in and of me. And I think when they hear someone making light of it, maybe they want to defend me, but I'm a big boy and I can fucking defend myself.
And a good looking big boy.
You've been in like eight years or something like that?
Eight
out of how many more do you got to do?
I got four and some change.
So what do you get charged with? What did you end up
getting? Involuntary manslaughter.
Okay. Was just like a plea? You just pled out to years? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, usually the problem was, like, after all this happened, I had to have surgery and then I was put in the hole for 17 days. Oops. Now, like, in an instant, everything changed. Like, my whole life went away. And the person I cared about the most, and aside from like my kid and her daughter, who was like called me dad, was just everything went away, and I'm in the fucking hole. And like the irony that I was willing to put everyone in my family through the pain I was now feeling, just without her, like I was willing to put her through that, and just had to sit in the hole for 17 days, and like really come to grips with what a selfish, mentally ill piece of shit. Like, I just, my weakness just exploded and caused so much fucking a reverberation of pain to everyone I cared about. And I immediately realized, like, oh yeah, that, I gave up that right to ever pass out again. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. And so I was left to either, like, okay, like, let's figure your fucking brain out and your fucked up life, because there's nothing else to do but figure it out. I can't kill myself anymore. I can't put my mom and through all the things that I was willing to put everyone through, I was now fucking feeling. And I kind of like gave up that right. And since coming to prison, you know, 7+ years ago, it's been a lot about, you know, I struggled with addiction, which was like me self-medicating for my mental health and depression issues and all that other shit.
Were you high when all this shit went down?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't like in a relapse state, but I was on Klonopins and I was drinking that night. And I was self-medicating again. I'd been yanked off.
How much booze? You know? How much booze do you have that night? Just, I'm just curious. If you don't want to talk about it.
It's what it is. I don't know. I was drinking off a fifth that her brother left over there. So maybe like half a fifth and a handful of Klonopins.
Uh-huh. Shit, man. So had you tried to hurt yourself before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had actually sought out community mental health and even another doctor. This is all in the police report and shit where I was trying to get into a new doctor to get put, because I could tell something was spiraling, being yanked off the Paxil and shit that I was on, the depression meds, you know, being immediately removed from that. I could feel shit going sideways, and I did. For the week before, I was trying to get help, and I was turned down for mental health. And then the doctor's appointment I went to,
you have 1 minute remaining.
I ended up being turned away. She had no more space for new patients. And my insurance, I had got a new job, but my insurance hadn't kicked in yet.
Well, listen, here's the thing.
Bobby, can you call back?
Yeah, I'm going to call back.
All right. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to say that, like, you know, when I was on, you know, when I called up and Doug, hey, you're on the fucking air. I was like, oh, my God. You know, so I was just kind of like going into fucking Michael Biehn mode. And like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I wasn't like, I don't even.
No. You didn't. You didn't. You absolutely didn't. And a part of me was kind of like, oh, sweet. Now, like, I get, like, we open the door. Now we can, like, really talk shit about each other. I you didn't hurt my feelings. I'm not that vulnerable.
I listened to your podcast, and I obviously hurt your feelings because you're all over me. Like, I'm just saying I want to apologize to you because, you know, obviously hurt your feelings because you wouldn't have been me talking all that fucking shit if I hadn't hurt your feelings, right?
Thank you for using GTL.
This podcast brought to you by BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com. This is not self-help. It's professional counseling, and I've been using it. And when we first got BetterHelp as a sponsor, I go, maybe I'll use it and goof around. And I go, you know what? Just because I think that I'm doing better than most people during this pandemic, that doesn't mean I'm not, that I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm losing my shit just like you guys. And I started doing BetterHelp, and it's fantastic. It's being able to talk about yourself to someone you don't know that's going to listen. I don't know if you know how rare that is. Someone is just going to listen and care about you, and you can just spill your gut. I've found it to be fantastic. Again, it's not self-help. It's not a crisis line. It's just someone who gives a shit about you. All without having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. And the service is available to clients worldwide, as our listeners are worldwide. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping or trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable. Check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. This is one of them. I didn't post it on their site, but posted for me. In fact, there's so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. People who need a job. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stanhope.
Your timing.
Oh, wait. So you listened to the podcast that he did. All right. I haven't heard it. Well, we're still going.
Had I known we had a guest today, I listened to the whole thing, but you didn't tell me he was going to be on mic until we had started.
I just assume you know everything. I always assume you know everything.
I did listen to it, and I was when I'm listening to it, I'm listening for audio things, like technical things, because I've advised them on some of the things. I'm curious about the gear they're using and everything. I like the podcast. It's very two guys that know each other and everything. But when he was saying that, I was kind of getting that thing. It was like, why is he? I'll pot it down. Why is he getting on your shit so much? But then at the end, he kind of went back and he said, hey, like, don't give them a hard time. I think that was more for the mic. You know what I mean?
He was going into Bobby mode.
But I did get some of that at first, but then he backed down off of that a little bit. But now I see why you're here. I just wish I would have known. Can you hear that?
From a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
We have to go through this every time that he calls back in.
I know. All right. I've been listening to your podcast.
Yeah, here's back.
He's back. Hello, Bobby.
Yeah, so
now you can make the stroke jokes.
Hello. Hi. Well, here's the thing. I wasn't hurt. Like, oh my God. It was more like, okay, this guy wants to fucking play around. And I don't even know what you said, but I was like, okay, like now we get to shit on each other. And I have a fucked up dark sense of humor where I think meanness can be funny if it's just so. I thought it was funny to couch the little one-liners inside of, no, I fucking love the guy, and then shoot a shot. And they go, no, but really, I love the guy, and he seems cool, and then shoot a shot. And I'm telling you, it didn't bother. I mean, it kind of perturbed me, I guess, a little bit, but what trumped that more was like, all right, well, let's fucking like talk shit about each other then. You know, now I have the free reign to like talk shit about this guy. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
I talked to Bobby last night, and he was fucking throwing out. He had a litany of stroke jokes he was writing about you, and I go, hey, you have to understand, it's not like an apparent Mary Jo Buttafuoco kind of face or anything.
Yeah. But I was just looking at. Now you were so sincere with this goddamn call. Now I feel like a fucking prick. Like, well, I listened to it, and you were clearly hurt. Like, all right, Pop, I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now I feel like a dick. And
Did you just call him Pops? I'll take the fun away from this shit.
Yeah, all right, Pop, I'm sorry. I don't, you know what I mean? Now you're going to get all sincere. You know? And now, like, I just, well, you got the story that Doug couldn't get out of me for the last fucking 2 years. And I get on here. So, now I can read my stroke jokes.
Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding.
They don't really mean anything anymore to me. And they really didn't then, because I didn't really give a shit. It was kind of fun, actually. I try to make a good thing out of shit like that. But,
Let me say this. I should apologize for saying I would fuck your wife when I got out. I said that before I knew that she was 40. So, once I found that out, it was completely off the table.
Well, don't worry about that. I thought, you know, and again, if you have a sense of humor, then
no, I do.
But do you have a sense of humor about yourself and like the shit that went down and everything? Or nobody can talk about that? Because I was thinking, in my head, you're like, oh, fucked up. You got a fucking gun. You're fucking a drug addict. You're all fucked up and everything. And you, boom,
those
you fucking,
true.
You know, fucking commit suicide. I'm fucking commit suicide. And then fucking boom, you fucking kill your wife. And you're like, yeah, things are looking a little up right now.
And now I got everything fucking figured out, and I'm on the phone with an 80s fucking B-lister and fucking
CEO. I hurt your feelings again. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, man. I'm sorry. Obviously hurt your feelings again. Jeez, I'm really sorry.
So the point is that like after, like you were saying, after all this, now I'm more successful. I had to come to prison to get just a smidgen of success. And I guess success, the bar's pretty low. I'm on little 15-minute segments of podcasts with Stanhope and shit. So
that is pretty low. Me too. Me too. I think you and I are in the same boat there, but I think we have something in common there.
he's big time.
Yeah, you know what's sad? This is what's sadder. For me, I'm going up, right? Like, it went from, like, Twitter people and shit. And, right, listen, it went to Stanhope. You went from, like, Schwarzenegger to Sigourney Weaver, Val Kilmer.
Down to Stanhope.
Yeah.
Like, whose coattails are safe these days if you're going to go on this trajectory? Are you on mine now? You might be on my coattails now.
That's why he agreed to show up. He wants an appearance on your podcast.
I do.
Which is probably eclipsing mine, along with Issues with Andy.
It would be great. We just got to charge up that hover round and make sure you show up on.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions about prison, because I've always been interested. Like, do you got your own fucking, did I hear you in one of the podcasts, you got your own fucking cell?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, but that, like, I thought prisons were so fucking crowded. Related? They were like four people in the fucking in like two man cells.
Well, it's like it's ironic because this is the only time in my prison where I've had my own cell, and this is also the only time I'm in a minimum security.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about like not like having another like a cellmate or a like a whatever you call them there.
Bunkie,
right? Like with all the young guys in there, like, what do you do with the whole fucking jacking off thing? Like, I mean, if you're like, most of those guys in there are probably like 18 to 30. When I was that age, I was jacking off like three times a day. So how do you fucking deal with like, you know, that whole situation of like, you know, like, you're like, oh, excuse me, like, put your earplugs in, or like, you just listen to him.
Well, yeah, you're not,
like, take it, you bit, you know, and you're in the lower.
Yeah, you can't,
how's that work?
There's a, like, within, like, the culture of, like, do's and don'ts, it's called cooking someone. You can't jerk off with your bunkie in the cell. You have to wait for them to go to the shower. And if you're in a, when I was in a maximum security, I was in level 4, so the toilet and everything's there. So you have to wait for one of the two times you get yard. And they go out, and you have to, like, sacrifice your yard to get to slap yourself around in there. And you hang a sheet up. Here, I'm...
Okay, I'm listening.
Here, I'm in a, okay. Here, I'm in a single-man cell, so I just hang the a blanket across... This is, like, a really old prison. It's, like, 100 years old. And I hang a blanket across the bars and then abuse myself repeatedly and then just shamefully get up and, like, take the blanket down, knowing everyone knows what I was doing in there, and just try not to make eye contact with anyone across the fucking gallery and shit.
Why shamefully? Well, you know, isn't that? Like,
it just sounds fun. I mean, you never had that where you post ejaculatory refractory period where you're kind of like,
fuck no, oh, man.
Well, you gotta understand this. You're probably looking at. I'm looking at old Xerox copies. Of 1970s.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too. You have to get National Geographic and jack off to like the black women with the tits that are.
Well, you can get
what can you get in there to go with?
Well,
to
we
go
call
for?
Them colored women now.
You don't call them Negroes anymore. Gee, good for you. You're really really stepping up there as far as your evolution. Go ahead.
We can get Playboys. There's like, you know, people have hardcore in here, and like a full like penthouse will go for like $70, a full color one. But if you get caught with it, they take it. You know what I mean? So the real entrepreneurs in here will find someone that works in the law library, make a bunch of Xerox black and white copies of it and sell those. Now that's what I got. And that's where the shame comes.
Could you get hardcore pornography tattooed on you so they couldn't take it away?
It's an artist. If the artists were worth a shit, maybe, but the shit that's going to end up, they're going to end up, when it's
get it
finished,
on flip cards.
You're not really going to want to finish. Yeah, 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 just to fucking.
Flip card pornography for prison. That's our new merch.
So jacking off around anybody else in prison is strictly verboten. That's just.
I've seen people get stabbed over it.
It's pretty hardcore.
No, I'm serious. Yeah, I've seen people get stabbed over it. I think quite a few stabbing. Because it's almost viewed right as a sexual advance.
Yeah,
like you're almost grooming them. Like, oh, okay, this is allowed. This kid's gonna allow me to like jerk off in the cell with them. Like, what's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. No, I mean, you know, like, yeah, no, it would definitely be offensive if, you know, somebody's just like, I was like,
I'm jerking off right now on the phone. So in a way, I'm really insulting, disrespecting you. You're not the way before I get it. For me to get out to get revenge.
I get weird shit happens like that to me. I was like, I was just a stop, you know, you live in fucking Arizona and shit stuff where you stop at like it was like a week ago, it was less than a week ago. I stopped and I had to go into like one of those toilets that are in like a store, like
Circle
it used to be
K.
Seven Circle K, yeah. It used to be 7-Elevens. And I'm in there and the guy's taking a piss next to me and he's like, and I felt like, man, this isn't right, man. This is, you know, I felt disrespected that he was enjoying his piece.
Last exhale of his prostate.
It was really fucking weird. So I understand, I guess, if somebody was, you know, doing that around you. Yeah. Okay. I get it. And I didn't know. I got a bunch of questions about fucking prison.
Yeah. Someone put you just onto the podcast where I mentioned you, but if you go through it, I think we got like 50 some episodes now. It's a lot of that. It's about the shit that happens in here that you're not going to find in your shitty movies that are written by people who've never been to prison, and get a more three-dimensional grasp of like what it's like in here, and like the stuff that, you know, that you wouldn't, the little nuanced shit that you wouldn't notice or
now that you're at a level 2, do they do any of that, or level 1, do they do any of that shit where the new guys come in and everyone fucking catcalls?
Fish.
A little bit to fuck around, but this place is, this level 1 shit was Candyland, so it's a, Listen, it's a bunch of guys.
Listen, Can I give you a little piece of advice? Listen, I know like sure. I'm a washed up old fucking actor who, you know, was back, you know, something.
80s B star is what he said.
80 B star, yeah. I know it was an 80s B star. But here's the deal that you got to learn for like your podcast. You know, you got to make this stuff fucking, you got to start making this fucking stuff. You got to start making stuff up. About rape, about jacking off. You got to like start making up stories that are exciting, yeah, not like, nah, nothing ever happens here. It's that bunch of fucking punks. Nothing ever, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to fucking find a fucking meat of like the fucking, and just make shit up. And that's
no, 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 no. Huh? I mean, I get the advice, but I want this thing to be artistically, as we talk about jerking off, I want it to be artistically credible. And, I'm not gonna, there's enough shit that I've, that doesn't need to be made
are
up.
Are you able to jerk off like at least once a day still? Like, is that, does your bunkie get our shower every day?
What is that, your habit? Is that how often Michael Bean's doing it?
Not
a day?
Not anymore. And then I'm married, so I've got somewhere to put
it. How does it work? Like, okay.
But how often do you jack off?
All right. Well, you know, I usually lead with this when I meet someone. when I meet someone, I'm usually like, hey, how many times? And they're like, well, times what? I'm like, you know. And they're like, no, I don't. I'm like, hey, jerk off a day. I don't know, like once a day, maybe once every 2 days. It gets tedious.
40. Really? 40? Oh yeah, okay. So you still do it once a day, and you.
It's like I said, once every 2 days, maybe one. It depends on if I get some new shitty Xerox pictures, and I just go to town.
This is the weirdest love line ever.
Is that the only, you can't use your imagination to like to do like all the freaky stuff that you really want really think about? Are you compared to just like looking at like an?
Well, it's not like you don't stretch out in here and have like a really enjoyable like jerk off session. Like I know it's like juggling on a tightrope. Like you don't know there's going to be COs walking through the back catwalk. They walk by and they're like fucking. You know what I mean? Like, hey, what do you do? Are you okay in there? Did you hang yours? Like what? You know what I mean? Okay. Oh, got him.
How well did I tie that sheet up?
Yeah, all that okay, shit.
I got
you. Know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Shit.
It's maintenance.
Prison sounds like a bitch, man.
That's all right.
How much time did you spend on the Rock?
I didn't spend any time. Oh, I went and visited the Rock, but I didn't spend any time on it.
I just meant the movie. Do you count that as prison time you've done?
Listen. I got like I have no idea what you're going through. I consider like my four stints in fucking rehab is like you always refer to it as white man's prison, and I could like. I only had 30 days. I only had to do 30 days, and I could never get by about 6 or 7, and I was done. So, of course, I didn't have a bunch of people. Go ahead.
How many face flashings did you see in this rehab? My first day in prison was just someone.
I saw some pretty bad plastic surgery, so I think it's pretty fucking comparable. I saw some 80s plastic surgery. I don't know if you remember what that looked like, but it was fucking, you know, faces all yanked.
You have 1 minute remaining.
It was horrendous,
Pretty bad, but not. How many knifings have you seen?
Wait, hang on. We want to do one more 15-minute chunk?
It's your money.
Can you do it again, Bobby?
Yeah. I can call right back as soon as as soon as this nice young lady on the recording tells us to get the fuck on or cuts us off.
Do you ever jack off to her?
Okay, so.
When she's talking,
you have 1 minute remaining.
Yeah. Like I said, listen.
Prison.
Like I said, they have on the little music thing where you can download music. People would upload. Remember, Doug? I said people because they have people stand up CDs. They have Hedberg on there. People would upload shit so you could download it that has was like just audio porn. And I would just be in there just laughing.
Oh, my first, we're going to get hung up on, but I'll wait for you to call back. But my first telemarketing job ever in LA in 85. We could call 976 numbers they were back then. So we could call them for free. So
do you need to explain what a 976 number is?
I think so.
Yeah, recorded phone sex that you pay whatever, fucking $3 credit a card. Minute for.
And they try to keep you on.
Yeah, it wasn't a credit card one. It's
you oh, just, it just went on the phone bill.
Yeah, it went on the phone bill of a fraud telemarketing company. So, yeah, you're long gone before they're asking any questions about, hey, who keeps calling these numbers? We put them on speakerphone. Hi, this is Carmen, the anal queen. I still remember that one.
Like, Carmen, the anal queen?
Yeah, just keep
calling
back. I just
got the title for this podcast. Talk about clickbait.
Sex! Ah! Rulers of the Underpants Universe! Sex! Ah! Keep your balls off your legs and such.
Sex underwear. Don't have sweaty balls.
Was that good? I don't know.
I remember that one because we just kept calling back trying to
pot it down.
Pot it down, as he says.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from
Carmen, the anal queen.
There's Spindrifts down there.
A prisoner at the Michigan Department of Corrections, Parnell Facility. If you feel you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact GTL Customer Service at 855-4-
Yeah, we should bleep. We shouldn't even be promoted. We should bleep out their fucking name.
Whose name?
GTL Customer Service. Like they're kind of dropping ad copy in here for private prison. Well, it's not private prison.
Your current balance is $8.
Well, I'm going to have to win a tennis next time.
Shameful.
Subject to monitoring and recording. Thank you for using GTL.
All right.
I think she sounds kind of sexy myself. I don't know. There's something about that voice.
Oh, Michael, just, Michael B., that's a man.
Well,
that's a man.
Do you, that doesn't make any difference. It's got a hole, right?
No, yeah. That's what I've been telling myself. That's what I've been telling myself for 7+ years now.
Yeah,
it doesn't make the shame.
No, and like no rapes that are going on in there, like you said.
That's
like,
a lot less. That's one of the things that's not is.
Damn.
You know, that's like the area that we will go to.
I'm really disappointed in the whole fucking prison system.
At least crack it down on here. I think, you know, that because it's got so much publicity. They have a, this is with hacking arc, I've said it a couple of times, but they have this big poster and it's called PREA, Prison Rape Elimination Act. And it's just this big thing and, you know, they really hold their feet to the fire if someone gets raped. They're uptight. Uptight like that. So there's there are posters everywhere that says, PREA.
This whole cancel culture rape. Of prison rape.
Yeah. Just let us do it. But on the posters, it'll have like a contact number anonymous, and it'll say the big statement it says, sexual assault is not part of your sin. You know what I mean? And I'm always like, yeah, it's a privilege, is what it is. And you guys are ruining it with all these goddamn narc posters up. Like, let it fucking happen.
I'm fucking really disappointed. That's
how's yeah, my that's raping 1-800.
I mean, there's on one of the I think the one that came out on yesterday podcast. There's like these prison urban of these prison like myths or legends, and I've been down long enough to hear most of them and who they're about. But we had a guy on there that was on my bunk. He once he's been down like 20 years, and he knows some of these guys. So there's this guy named Sucker Punch. That would, way back when you could smoke, would ask you for a light, he'd knock you out and suck your dick. Which, what's the violence? What's with all the violence? You know what I mean? Like, you just, yeah. Ask. Like,
just ask.
But it could be worse. You wake up and the guy, I mean, I guess it'd be worse if you fell. What happens if you fall on your stomach, though? Then what? You know what I mean?
And wow, then, I woke up with morning wood.
It's not gay if you pretend to be knocked out.
Yeah, do they have like that thing in where like all the gay people and snitches and cops and everybody are in like the private security? What do they call it?
Protective,
yeah.
Protective custody.
Do they have that in your prison?
Yeah. Well, the second prison I went to was the maximum security, and that's the one, Doug. I told you, right? White Boy Rick was at. He was in. They have two. They have two joints up here that have PC units. And you can't just go in there. There's like a waiting list. But to go in there, you have to like give up someone's name and give up information and actually prove that your life's in danger. And there was a
kind of like
unit.
Asylum for immigrants.
Aren't there just like since according to fucking everything I've ever heard in my life, like 10% of the male population is gay. It's like, where are all those gay guys? Are they like, are there gay guys that are just on, that are part of your thing, that are just like doing each other and stuff, or that doesn't happen either? Or what goes on with that?
Well, I think that for the most part, it's so you're like, if you're an openly gay person here, you're persona non grata for the most part. But there are some people who just don't give a fuck. It's definitely not 1 in 10. It'll be, see, the sexual shit in here is super predatorial, you know? Yeah. So there's like this creepy vibe to it. It's like, I don't have a problem at all, like with whatever sexuality you are here. But in here, it's like this aggressive, like there's always a victim involved where the person is being coerced or pressed into it.
Never two consenting adults in there? No, never two consenting adults.
There are some of that, but it's usually someone who was gay in the world, and then there's just another person.
Oh, somebody a coffee or something. Yeah,
it's super homophobic and repressed sexually. So they're like weird about it, and it's just creepy the way it goes. I'm in the one prison that has transgender inmates in Michigan. They call it the dollhouse. And the unit I'm at. So there's, they get their estrogen pills and have fake titties. And they're popular.
I bet they are. They're popular out here, dude.
Water is wet also, by the way.
You don't say. You don't say.
Bobby, so, yeah, so, are you still on psych meds?
I was never on. Since coming to prison, I wasn't on.
Because you said obviously you were off your meds at the time of the incident.
Yeah, at the time, yeah. And then when they put me in the hole for those 17 days before they would let me out, I decided that I would never be on.
Have you ever been diagnosed as anything other than depressed? Are you like manic depressive or depression? Depression.
Manic depressive.
So what kind of drugs were you on? Zoloft and that kind of shit?
Yeah, I started on Zoloft when I was really young. I must have been like 13 or 14.
Me too.
And then I went through everything. I think Paxil was the last thing I was on. But none of them really were. They were all just like Band-Aids.
So
and this is one of the problems, right?
What did they take away from you when you were like really in that bad situation we were talking about earlier? What drugs were you on then that they were taking away? You said they took away your drugs.
Like I said, Paxil. I was on an opioid maintenance thing, just boxing. And then I was on Paxil, and I think Paxil. I was literally cycling through new different brands like once a month because none of them were really working. But I wasn't told that there's other things you can do for mental health. Like more proactively in your life and shit. They're just like, here, take these things. You have a chemical imbalance, take these things.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn that there's some personal responsibility to your mental health that you have. And there's proactive things you can do.
Like meditation.
Meditation is my big thing. Meditation, exercise, finding something meaningful to fucking do with your goddamn life. And,
If you'd been, I was just like you, except for if you were big in the 80s, you would have just had people throwing pussy and fucking booze and drugs at you. And I think that's the difference between me and you. Cause I could have definitely fucking ended up in jail. There's definitely some situations I was in that like, oh man. And I would never judge you. That's really what I wanted to say to you more than anything else. Is like,
I really
didn't mean to judge you, and I really didn't mean to hurt your feelings. So I really.
Oh, here we go again.
What?
You're gonna hurt my what? Feelings.
He's winking when he says that. He's fucking with.
I know he is. I know this is his fucking thing.
He's doing air quotes. He's pumping really hard.
I know this is. I fucking. It's clear. He's heavy-handed with it. So you say you're an actor?
I'm not as a bad and bad one. A 1980s, you know, has been, dude.
It's B.
See, he's bothered that I called him an 80s B-lister. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not bothered at all. Hey, listen, I heard the podcast.
I'm winking at no one over here.
The interesting thing that I thought about you, which was really good to know,
after listening to your podcast was out of 1,000 people that were that are in your prison, you're in the top 2 people as far as being smart, right? Out of the 1,000
people? No, I'm number one here.
You're number
one. I'm number one here. Those are 2 other people I've just met since I've been down. I'm top dog here.
Okay.
Those are the two other people that he could talk to.
So
this is what I got to do. I got to insult your friends to get everyone to listen to the most recent fucking episode. Jesus Christ,
Bobby, I've listened.
Everyone listen to it.
I've listened to it, and by the way, you're on episode 57, and the captain's doing a great job. You guys, it's worth listening to.
We got him.
It's on. It's all the platforms as far as I can see, and also on iTunes or whatever Apple is promoting a podcast, whatever.
Notes from the Pen.
And you can also go to notesfromthepen.com and there's a link there. So
I enjoyed it.
Episode 57. They're cranking them out. It's great.
I enjoyed it. Michael
called me late last night for us. So like around 8 and said, how do I get this podcast? I go, I don't even know how to get my own podcast. We're 2 doddering old men on the phone trying to, I think if you go to his
what
Twitter,
exactly is a podcast?
Now I found out. Now I'm beginning to realize anybody can have a fucking podcast, and everybody does have a fucking podcast.
Clearly.
Soon it'll be
everyone
in his cell block. Everyone on his wing will
cell
have a podcast.
Has one.
Hey, will you do my podcast? I'll give you 2 coffees if you do my podcast.
Oh, I need a ramen. I'll do it for a ramen.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until I'm the featured guest on one of yours out there in the world, though. You know what I mean?
Call it Sucker Podcast.
Like, hey, make sure you call again
Sucker
on Saturday. We got.
Bean was talking about our, I think, 2nd podcast ever was a friend of ours who tried to smuggle drugs in
Goose Kirk.
And he got out finally. I think he escaped. And we had him on expecting the fucking. And nothing really happened. Michael was alluding to this earlier, where you get to make up stories. Like, yeah, it was kind of like summer camp. Like, nothing? Like, how'd you wipe your ass? Well, you just showered. There's no toilet paper. You just showered. Like, we're not animals. 2 years in a fucking Brazilian prison.
Yeah.
And this
is no story.
Sounds like meatballs.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Anybody who can pork meatballs.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, before we go, Michael was asking, like, how many slashings? How many? I don't know if I ever told. I don't think I told you this, Douglas. But my first day, you come in, and this is maximum security prison, so you have to. You're locked in your cell, so you have to go to chow or whatever. So I go to chow, and then when we're coming back, and like the group of people, the little crowd that we're walking with back to our housing block, like starts to part like the fucking, like a crowd, like the sea, like in the fucking middle. And when they're doing a perp walk, like everyone, when the CO is bringing someone through, everyone has to like spread out. You got to get to the side of the thing, like the goddamn parade's going through, right? So we move to the side, and there's a guy that's going by and he's handcuffed and he's just smiling and like, yeah, I did. So we're like, okay, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. He goes by and then about, I don't know, 50 yards behind him, we start to fill back in and the cops are like, no, spread out, please spread back out. And then they bring this other guy and he's got a V-neck state issued shirt and he's handcuffed behind his back and the cop behind him is leading him and he's got his V-neck shirt pulled up over his nose. So it's like covering his face. And he's walking. I'm like, what's this? Everyone's kind of like, what happened? And they're acting like it's no big deal. And right as the guy, I got to prison right before dinner chow. And so I'd been there a couple hours, made my bed, and then it was chow time. So I'm standing by the side. And as soon as he gets in front of me, because he's handcuffed, he can't keep his shirt up anymore. It falls off the front of his nose. And he's been slashed from his ear to the corner of his mouth. And the bottom part of his cheek had fallen down like a fish fillet and you could see all of his teeth in there like a fucking zombie like from Fear the Walking Dead. And it was like mind blown, like, okay, this shit is real here. And most of the craziest part was they let him through and there's just the crowd reforms into a fucking regular crowd and we just walk and most people are acting like nothing happened. And I look down And there's just a trail of blood drops going all the way back to the fucking unit where he got his face slashed open. That's called a buck 50 is what we call it. And that was like my first couple hours in prison. And I was like, oh, this shit's real and max.
Did you sucker punch him and suck his dick? Hey, get him while they're weak. That's what I heard.
Find the biggest guy.
Do you think when you get out, you're going to have any problem like staying sober, or you think you're just going to go right back to it? I mean, it's one thing to say like, oh, you know, like I haven't had anything for like 8 or 10 years, but you could be like Philip Seymour Hoffman, be off it for 20 years and then go back on it and be dead. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't feel any need to make like these declarative statements about what the future is going to hold. But if you're just asking,
yep.
I don't know, man. I feel like I've figured out what the difference between like what I don't think so, but I don't. We'll see. You know what I mean? I don't plan on it. I've had plenty of opportunity in here.
What's your drug choice? Opioids, and that would be what?
Yeah,
you have 1 minute remaining.
Where am I staying in Florida and stuff? But yeah, I don't think so. But
opioids in Florida, like water.
Yeah, benzos and opiates. Weed and drinking too. I like it all. I like anything that would fucking inebriate me and fucking put me under.
Yep. Yep.
I know my way around a fucking plate of cocaine as well, though.
First in line?
That's not the
last in line is where you want to be.
Bobby, before they kill us, just call me anytime. I'm not going to set up another podcast. Just call me over the next few days and we'll figure it out with the, holiday and shit.
Bye, Bobby.
All right,
bye,
you
Bob.
Guys.
Bye, Bobby. Bye,
Michael.
Thank you.
Bye, Michael Bean. I love you guys. Well, listen, you really hurt my fucking feelings, and I appreciate a formal goddamn apology.
You got it. Joel Schumacher. I work for that. All right, yeah, go ahead.
All right, I love you guys. Be good.
All right, bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And kind of come up with some rape stories next time.
Thank you for using GTL.
Punch up your prison experience. We're still going.
Ghetto. We're still on.
Just telling you.
You don't need the headphones
anymore.
You piss. You go. Yeah. You're gonna. Yeah. I was gonna say you're gonna lose your wallet and your phone. With the boss.
Did I miss the production meeting? I mean, what happened here?
I completely forgot you weren't up here last night.
I saw you last night.
Yeah, but I forgot you weren't here for the whole thing.
I saw you when Bobby was on the phone with you last night.
Yeah, but I'm saying, no,
Raider,
Michael
back
was
me
here.
Up, right?
Michael was here. Michael
nope.
was here
no,
last
he wasn't.
Night. Not when you were here.
I knew Michael was going to be on.
Oh.
If that helps.
Well, all right.
Yeah, we were out here with Michael, and I assumed that you were here, because I just assume you're here. Or you're listening on the ring.
Fair enough.
All right.
That was good, because I drove out to Tucson today to get exotic meats for New Year's, and ended up getting semi-exotic meats for a lot of money. But I did listen to Bobby is one of the podcasts I listened to. Because you know what? That's one thing I miss, being on the road and listening to podcasts and everyone just shutting the fuck up and driving for 2 hours.
Oh my God, it was so fun. I have like a dozen Audible credits, so I'm loaded up. That's my New Year's plan, is to do a lot of driving and listening to audiobooks.
Dude, I don't even need a place to go, but it's nice if there's something to do. And then I did find some things to do.
Well, I got the dog up in Phoenix now.
Yeah,
gives me a reason to drive four hours up, 4 hours back. That's basically a book.
You going to hit her up to pay for that screen that he ripped into?
Wow. How long did it take for you to fix the screen you fucked up? It's still wonky.
It's still wonky.
Yeah. I'm glad he called back a couple times. I thought they were just going to go right to fucking with each other. That got a little heavy at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard his podcast.
It was good. What they were doing was a question and answers. So they did and it was really good the way they did it, because the thing isn't like, and shitting on Michael Bean. It was like, and we talk about Tombstone or John, you don't need that. Johnny Ringo. That's how they set it up in there. And it was the questions and answers. And the guy, I think the guy who emailed them the question, that guy was angry at you. And it's
that's
ironic
common
because,
for our fans no, just absolutely. To take offense on
because
our behalf when they don't
nothing
need to
was
do that.
Nothing was anyone hearing your voice. It was all someone said something that you should know about. Who'd you hear it from? Someone else. And I mean that was
that,
what the
that
guy was
nurse in Cedars-Sinai that we all knew with Richard Gere and the
gerbil.
Nurse, right?
No, my cousin knows.
There was a nurse that was somebody's cousin that everybody knew. That
same
was,
as donkey shows. Everyone knows someone that was knew someone that went to a donkey show.
Oh, I went to one. Well, I mean, my cousin did. But that's what the guy that because he used lingo. He said, "Should we finger him?" And I thought, well, I don't know what that means because I don't know. Yeah, and it's a prison term, which I love prison terms. I think you and I are on that same page. We're like, I love the
prison
the
nomenclature and grifters.
Oh, I like, love the things they do, old-timey. The kiting and the shivving and all that stuff. I love all the little details. Scares the fuck out of me. But it is one of those things where this guy got so angry in the email question to Notes from the Pen that you're like, dude, step down a little bit, relax, right? But he was like, what do we do about this? And and Bobby was like, what do you mean, what do we do? I'm in prison. What am I going to do about it? Yeah. So whatever.
All right. Going back to rape. If you had to go back and rape your former self, just...
Yes.
The time travel.
One of your hit pictures. Which version of you?
The van. The fan. The fan.
The fan.
Yeah, definitely. I was young and very. What's that word that starts with a B? Bubonic.
Bubonic.
Bucolic.
Is that young?
Beautiful.
No.
Bucolic would be like a Vermont village.
Nah, I think it starts with a B.
How many letters?
I want to do a podcast with Michael Biehn where it's just Michael Biehn trivia. We do it like we do the live happy hour.
I was thinking the same thing.
As he's stuttering through, I worked with the guy with the mustache, and then people can chime in like
the
Jeopardy.
Chat. They can bring it in the chat.
Yeah.
It's a cross between beautiful and young.
Young?
No, wow. Cross between beautiful and
you're
young.
Not going to get a turn at the
beautiful?
New York Times Sunday crossword.
Beautiful?
No.
See what I did there?
I'll think of it. I'll call you at midnight tonight. That was, by the way, that was Frank Gorshin up there.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, I told when you pointed the screen, I'm like, he's pointing at Frank Gorshin. Yeah, he just is going to be polite and not say it. And the other guy, too. On the left, I don't know if you noticed him. He was a radio star.
People that are listening to the podcast, are they watching this at the same time?
TCM.
No, they're not.
So they're probably not.
But I got
not
that.
Too, okay.
Got that.
probably not too interested. Yeah, no, that's the movie that I did that all, whenever I go out and all the fans that love that movie, they're all gay. It's Lauren Bacall. It's Broadway. It's and there's a scene in it where a guy goes down on me and I slit his throat. Very sexy, sort of like gay. And there's a whole kind of gay vibe to the whole thing. It was Robert Stigwood, first of all, produced it. And the guy who originally they were all gay. And I think I told you before that if it wasn't for gay men, I wouldn't have much of a career. It really wouldn't have gone very far, I don't think.
You also talked about Lauren Bacall earlier. So was this the film where you had experience with her?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm very, I'm just young. And so, I mean, I'm just like answering your question. I can't think of any other, thing that I should sent Bobby some pictures for me from my Tiger Beat magazine.
Well, I'll Xerox them for you. Here's a good one. There's one. Look at that.
Oh yeah, that's the fan. That's the fan. Right. Well, look at this. I love this kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'll send that to Bobby.
There's one where I'm laying down in bed too, which is I'm very young and very pretty back then.
Oh, right here.
Look at my nipples.
There it is.
There it is. That's the one. That's the one that all the gay men approached me with. This one. Hey, would you sign this picture for me?
Quick question. Sure, what were you reading? Was it my letter to you?
It's a bad Xerox copy. It's watermarked.
In a Ziploc bag.
So what I did most is actually my lines. I was probably doing, I did a lot of monologues because I'm always like, this movie was based on a book that was all letters. Letter written to her, me writing letters to her, her assistant
like
writing
a stalker
letters.
Type thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the whole thing, the book was just letters back and forth between people. Yeah. And there's a name for that, but I'm not.
Correspondence?
Pay attention. Well, that too, but there's actually a name for a book that is basically just correspondence between each
other. Bubonic?
Beautiful? I created a word.
Yeah, that's the one that, it's that's good. The
yeah,
one that.
I see it.
It's that, either that or when they skate up on rollerblades. Wait. I know right away.
It's kind of happening here though, right?
That's the gay one. That's the guy that goes down on me.
Oh, fuck. Yep. Me and Raider are going to be watching that in the king size bed together.
I'm going to put that as the icon for the.
I think the guy in prison should be jacking off to me.
Well,
you don't know if
they're
not.
See, the way Raider and I do it, we watch together, but we wear eye masks and we cut out the eye that's not. So the eye, like, you know, peripheral vision on this eye that could look at the other guy's dick.
Oh, the contact side you keep covered. Yeah.
It's like, it's an upgrade of
why don't you want to look at the other guy's dick?
It's Raider.
What?
It's Raider. I got to fucking
bathroom rules,
have
man.
Lunch with the guy the next day.
Aren't you curious at all?
No. He's Jewish. He already told me.
Oh.
It's no surprises.
Oh, well, that is no surprise. No, the other one is the one that I... Oof. If I, you know, you're not Jewish and you have that.
We're still recording.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh, we are? Oh, the hood, that whole hoodie thing.
Why doesn't your fucking wife.
Yes.
Just change her Twitter account
her
to
husband?
Say Michael Bean.
Oh my
all
God.
She has to do instead.
There's
also,
so
she's
many.
She's promoting you all the time. So why doesn't she just say that's you and just field your calls?
She could be the person responding to everything, but it should be with your image.
She's not interested in me. Well, she really is not interested
you've
in promoting my
you.
Career as much as
she You've
as
never
much
seen
as
her
Doug
Twitter
is.
Account then because it's all fucking... Go to the cameo page for Michael Bean. Well, but then let's just say you are Michael Bean as she's representing
you on
Twitter.
You could get verified in a week. But if you took over an account, you start an account at Michael Bean, you could
probably. He has at Michael Bean.
I know all you youngsters. All you youngsters need to know that there's something kind of hip about not being part of that fucking whole deal.
It's I know kinda, that's what I'm saying. If she's going to be part of it anyway, and you're not going to be part of it, why doesn't she just say she's you and make it?
I wouldn't want her to say she's
or,
me
or take over your account.
She doesn't have much
sense of
humor.
She's promoting you. Know? It's way easier to promote you. I'll have this conversation with the lady when she comes.
Well,
back.
We've already had this conversation. You just don't remember it.
That's why I'm saying I'll have it with your wife next time.
Shaley rolling his eyes until his eyes fall out. Wait, were you in the room? What? I asked you 5 minutes to air. Should I set up anything? No, we're good.
Raider was asking if he could have a set of headphones to listen, but that's when you pulled out the speaker.
Yeah.
And I thought you already knew about him. I thought we were dealing with the
You thought Raider. I knew about him because I didn't set up a microphone for him? Is that how?
No, you
was
said
that the
you
clue?
Were setting up a speaker. So then I go, oh, he doesn't need that. I didn't know you didn't. Prepare for fucking Michael Bean.
Riveting podcast.
Yeah. No, that was good. I'm so glad, especially after listening to that podcast, I'm driving back from finally Sierra Vista. I'm like, you know what? This would be good to set something up. And then I come here and I find out it's a Christmas miracle. It's already set up. I didn't even have to call anyone.
I was feeling a little bit, you know, I still have a little trouble with this. Oh. Sometimes I forget
we're recording that giant microphone in your face kind of dips
it's
out of your good eye.
It's invisible like Shaley.
It looks like a penis, so I'm used to it.
Remember, I told you how I got started in the business, right?
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. We should get this on the record.
There is no record. I just like to joke around. Okay. God, look at how young I was. And she was old back then.
Is that disturbing? Should I turn this away?
What?
Is this disturbing?
Is it triggering?
I love looking at myself. What are you talking about? I used to have a friend when I was a kid, and when every time I used to drive around in a Volkswagen, my first car when I was over in LA, and of course I'd let other people drive it. And he goes like, you know, every time I fucking get into your car, I go to fucking, and the mirror's like looking at me. I'm like, you know.
That's honest. You're being honest. That's
good. I used to masturbate to cassette tapes and just applause.
Yeah, that's what it is. What was his name? What's the guy's name that we were talking to? The guy in jail.
Oh, Bobby. Sorry,
Bobby, that's what he should do. It's just like get a mirror and then fucking he can like work off, you know, work off himself there.
He's half Asian and, you know, it's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's
So he's probably
Korean,
got a little small penis then, right? Is that just a...
Not when you're looking at yourself.
That's
in
why
the
he doesn't masturbate in front of any. All that stuff about like you know getting killed if you masturbate in front of somebody. Probably he just doesn't do it because he's Asian. Or
Savage.
Is that a stereotype? That's
I
a
wonder
stereotype.
If just half of his dick is small, like to the left, and it pulls the right
which half?
Big side down to a crooked smile.
Oh Lord! Oh God! Yeah. Okay.
You're
well,
leaving me, fucking Michael Biehn. Yep, comes to town, makes a friend, and now you're ditching out for a couple months.
I don't want to. I really don't want to go back to L.A. because right now L.A.'s on fucking fire.
Oh, yeah.
Even worse than it was before the fucking pandemic
COVID. COVID-wise.
Yeah, L.A. Times today, I was reading online, was, they're putting fucking hospital beds in gift shops at hospitals because there's no place
for
them.
And no one's buying gifts. Clearly, yeah. Hallmark has found a niche.
Do I have to wear a mask to get a card? Just want to get one of those.
Pretty fucking horrendous. But I don't, you know, I don't think we should talk about that because that was what. Never mind. I forget that I'm on the microphone.
But you have a separate residence in Hollywood? Hollywood proper?
No. Yeah. I live in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, nice.
Not really. There's a lot of nicer places.
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Where?
Aunt and uncle
Where?
Lived.
Where in San Fernando? You don't
I was
know?
8 years old. That's when we got into special
effects.
Well,
there's a lot of places out there. But
We loved it.
Yeah, but now it's 15 degrees hotter than it used to be when I first got there, and there's about 10 times as many people, and it takes you like fucking 4 hours to drive into Beverly Hills, so you know, like to see a doctor or something like that. It's fucking horrible, horrible, horrible. And you told me the other day, right? Is this the first year in the history of California more people are leaving California?
I was there for the conversation. Yeah. I didn't have the facts.
Seems right. Because, a lot of people moved from L.A. to Seattle, and there was a big backlash of people from L.A. in Seattle. And now since my brother, which that's what he did, he moved to Boise, it's the same thing. In Boise, people have a thing against where you from, and you don't say Seattle, and you don't say L.A. because they're driving the prices on everything up. And it's a fucking great place to live, both of them. Well, Seattle, not anymore, but
it fucking rains there every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
but Boise, so Boise is a really nice place, but you do find that you want
Boise's
to.
Boise's where? In what state is that?
Idaho.
Oh, God.
But you want to.
Idaho's gorgeous.
That's where all the fucking the militias fucking are. That's where fucking
that's
KKK.
That's where some of them are. Northern Idaho.
What's the name of the cop that blew the O.J. Simpson case? That's where he was from. Like
Furman?
Furman?
Yeah.
Hey.
From.
Again, we're playing
from what?
But
from?
But that's not where he the OJ thing happened in L.A.
I know, but it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't from fucking Idaho.
He left Idaho because they didn't like him.
And that was there's a small niche Coeur d'Alene area.
I was in high school with him. Oh. I was in high school with Furman. All right. So
you're
just
20 years too young for that. But so did you grow up in Idaho?
No.
Is that why you're from
Orange County? Fullerton.
Oh, Orange County.
Home of the electric guitar.
You remember it.
Home of the electric guitar.
Fullerton. Home of the electric guitar.
Fender.
Fender? That's Fullerton?
Yes.
Oh, do you play music, Michael Bean?
If you weren't drunk all the time, I'll repeat the fact that when COVID happened, I wanted to do something. So I learned, I went out looking for Ike, and I also learned to try to learn to play the guitar. So now I know all the chords. So you only need three to play like a lot of fucking songs.
Which three?
Like A, C, D, B. B's tougher. The really tough one is F. They call it the F and F, chord. And I've kind of got that mastered, but that's called something they call barring up, which means you have to bar up with one finger and play with the others. Your wife, girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She would know all about this kind of stuff.
Bingo. You could play every U2 song with G, C, and D.
And the problem
every single one.
Yeah.
And the Cult.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun, but no, I'm not musical.
What is that? Chaley, now that I know he wasn't here last night, wife really wants to fucking sing karaoke.
And oh, wow.
Oh, well, and she goes, we can do it here. She fucking flipped. We can do karaoke here.
Right.
I love karaoke so much.
She does. She's already set up something with her pole mates, too. So, she's...
So, are you tasking me? With
no, I just told her that absolutely we could.
I wish I had somebody.
That's different. Yeah. That's different. Wait, hold on. You can't dangle that carrot in front of a karaoke star.
I want to have somebody I can task things to.
I'll do it. Tell me to do it. I'll do it.
How much you go for? What's
no, oh, I'm playing. What I want to do.
Nervous.
Michael, I updated all the lights up there, right? Oh. Over the, like pointing the stage. But I want a drop down screen from the light bar. Or from that truss, so that they can see the lyrics, because everything's on YouTube.
You can't put it on the.
Well, you can, but it would be better for them to be able to see it, right?
Yeah, but if they're staring at that TV,
what the? Fuck off, Siri.
So you need a fanny pack like Bingo, because all your shit's always hanging out of your pockets. You lose your wallet, you lose your phone, and they're always drifting out of your old man ass.
Are we doing karaoke? Is that the task?
Not right now.
No,
that's true.
No, she's not here.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
All right.
But now the good thing is now Michael can go home to the boss and say, yeah, we talked a lot about setting up karaoke for you.
That's
and
right.
She'll go, oh, because I thought it was only going to be 15 minutes, but it's been an hour. Yeah. So
I got to go home and make dinner. I got to go home and do the dishes.
Do you cook food?
Well, recently we started barbecue. It's a very famous show.
That's a fucking epic.
That was the poster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're watching The Graduate on TCM, and it's with
Anne
Bancroft and Dustin Hoffman when she is like starts to seduce him.
Mr. Bean?
Yes. What?
My mic is down here.
Oh.
Stop staring at the screen.
I'm sorry.
So what do you cook? What's your dish?
No, I don't cook anything. But recently there was like a barbecue at that house that like I never used, never even thought about it. And about 2 months ago, I was like, let's see if I can fire this thing up. And it's like one of these big, massive things with all sorts of different deals on it. Here she comes. Where am I?
Yeah, put her on speaker.
Hi, Dasha. What's going? Don't forget what?
Don't forget the milk.
Don't forget the milk and what else? Dasha, what else?
Oh hey, shit! Michael, he drove himself. No? Hey, you're on the podcast, Jen.
Yes, I'm coming now. We were just talking about you. They're trying to set up a karaoke thing for you. So.
Yay! But Michael.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm asking is because I don't want you to forget the milk. He has no milk.
No, I won't forget the milk. Got any milk? No, okay.
He said okay and hung up.
That's all I'm good for is milk. So
I'm just realizing you're going to have to drive after dark. Are you going to be all right?
I might end up in fucking...
the little house,
or you know, Douglas. Like I don't know where I'll end up, but no, I've got the little device now in my car.
But we're gonna have to get you to the corner store to get milk. And then you're going to have to reprogram it.
Actually, going up the hill, there's one of those things that you mentioned before.
Circle K. Yeah, you know how to get there.
Oh, that's where you live?
I know how to get there. Well, I put in my house, and that'll take me past the Circle K.
Okay, all right. I can remember if you lived above or below.
I have a question about your barbecue.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I would love to see it. I've started barbecuing and smoking.
You sure you're talking about my barbecue?
While we're talking, I am looking at the picture from the fan.
Here's the deal.
You started barbecuing? Have you started using it?
Yeah. So I started using it, and it's one of these things. It's a huge barbecue, and it's got like a thing that you can like make eggs in, and thing that like a drawer that you can
separate side things. Where, yeah,
and
propane.
I used to barbecue a lot in another life, and so propane, of course, and so I started barbecuing, and it the great thing about this barbecue is. It is the hottest barbecue I've ever.
Yeah, constant heat.
It's fucking unbelievable how fast it cooks a steak. Yeah. I mean, a nice New York steak is like 10-12 minutes. And so far I've been very lucky with it. I'm barbecuing vegetables on it, put a little olive oil over the vegetables, put it in tinfoil, doing that, and doing the mushrooms, doing steaks, doing, oh, and I got fish tonight. I'm barbecuing fish, I never barbecued any of that stuff. So do I cook? No. But, now that I got the barbecue working, now Jennifer's like fucking every night. She's like, yeah, let's barbecue tonight. Why don't we barbecue? What you mean? Why don't I barbecue? And you sit around and watch.
Ask for milk
and look at your phone.
Fucking chase that fucking boy with a butterfly net. They have a 5-year-old that looks like he's 15.
He is 15.
He drives. I saw him on a tractor down Arizona Road. And I'm like, oh, no, that's cool. That's fine.
I let him drive on my lap.
All right, we'll let you fucking.
Yeah, I got to go home or I'm going to get into big trouble. And I'm not going to see any of that
40-year-old pussy. Good work, Bobby.
Yeah. She doesn't let me look anymore. You know?
Well, I'm glad you came in.
I'm glad I came in, too.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah, now that I said that to her, you're gonna have to do something.
Yeah, but now that Chaley's actually
we're still
here,
recording, Michael. So until
okay, by the way, I got into these last night that you gave me.
Yep,
pretty fucking good.
Then take the rest of them.
Nah, I've still got a few left. But
No, that's actually from a fan. I didn't have my list of thank yous.
It was a re-gift
whoever sent me. I have a stack of thank yous, but someone sent me the chocolate Charlie candy. It had a nice letter to it. It's the guy from Elkhart, Indiana, that bought Bingo's
baritone
saxophone.
Sax.
Yay! Fucking all right.
When is Arizona playing Sunday? Is that the last grass?
Well, yeah, that's it.
Sunday, right? You know what time the game is? Is it the early?
That'll be an afternoon game. Yeah.
Chris Bauer from Elkhart, which was a fucking fantastic show.
See you guys. Yeah,
thanks,
good
Michael.
See you, sir. We'll see you Sunday for football.
I can't telephone call, and I'm in Tucson, and I can't find my way around.
We'll point you home.
Hey, where are my keys?
Jeez.
I'm good. Phone.
Oh, left him in the car. You're getting fucking. You're
getting busy.
All right.
All right, Doug. He's
sucking up to the bartender. Take us out of here, Bingo, so we can walk this old man to his car.
Okay. Bye bye now.